The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection. Support comes from United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is New York State Senator Betty Little, a Republican from New York's 45th Senate District, which includes all or parts of Clinton, Essex, Franklin, Hamilton, Warren, and Washington counties. First elected in 2002, this is Senator Little's last term in office. Senator Little previously served many years in the State Assembly. Welcome, Senator Little.
Oh, thank you very much, Alan. I appreciate it.
So why are you getting out?
Well, the reason I'm getting out is I'm going to be 80 in September, and I decided that that would be time to leave. So, difficult decision, but certainly, you know, hard to make, but I felt that it was time to spend more time with family. I have family, six kids, two in California, two families, a family in Kentucky and a family in Tennessee, and two families living here. So, definitely plan on spending more time visiting them and their home places as well. But I certainly never expected my last year to end like this. So I'm sure.
No, indeed. There are cynics who'll say, well, come on now. You guys were, the Republicans were in charge of the Senate, and maybe you don't like when the other guys are in charge.
Oh, no, that's not it at all. I actually think Senator Andrea Stewart-Cousins is doing a great job as leader.
So how much power, even if you're ahead by one vote, how much power does the majority party have in New York State Senate?
Oh, it has tremendous power as far as deciding the agenda, the bills that will make it to the floor, and who leads what committees. You know, it's the same as we did when we were in the majority. We had the power, and now we're in the minority, and we work with the majority. That's the only way you're going to get things done. So I was in the minority for 7 years in the assembly, so this is not my first go-around being in the minority.
Not your first ball game. So what do you count as your biggest accomplishments since you've been in the Senate or in both houses?
Well, I think the biggest accomplishments were the constitutional amendments that I was able to get passed, because they require a lot of collaboration, a lot of partnerships in order to pass two successive legislative sessions and then go to the voters. You have to work with all sides. So you have to work with the local governments who are in need of these constitutional amendments, and then work with the environmental advocates to make sure that they are on board as well with them. So I think that was big, and they were important for the Adirondacks, and really happy to have been able to do those.
So, Senator Betty Little, I guess the next question is, are the Republicans through in Blue State, New York?
I don't know. Certainly, I don't have a crystal ball. But I do think that people like two-party government because they balance each other. And, you know, on the Republican side, you see a little more conservatism towards taxes, certainly, and increasing taxes. And we know that New York State is number one in taxes in the entire country. So I think we have a lot to offer, and it offers balance. But it's hard to overcome. You know, there are 63 senators in the chamber, and 25 are from New York City, and only one, Andrew Lanza, is a Republican. And then the nine from Long Island, six are now Democrats, only three are Republicans. So that's a big impact. But for upstate New York, we really do have more Republican senators and representatives. And I think we do a better job in representing rural New York and some of the other issues that would go right under the table and at least we can get those presented. But we're outnumbered. That's all in the vote. But I think it's better for New York to have, you know, two-party rule than one-party rule entirely.
Well, I agree with you, and certainly the fact that George Pataki served for three terms says there are an awful lot of people with you on this.
Absolutely. Right. And we served with Governor Cuomo when we were in the majority, too, and did very well with him.
What do you think? How's he doing?
Well, I think, you know, that this has been a totally unexpected event, COVID-19. Something I never imagined that we would do, shut down everything, stay at home. You know, I didn't even go to the grocery store. My kids insisted that because I'm of that age that they would go and do all the shopping and that kind of thing. So totally different to have the schools shut down. It's just been an incredible experience. But I don't think we've ever had as much information about what was going on. And certainly the governor being on television every day with a press event, going over the numbers, going over what's happening, and, you know, working with it, as well as the president being on in the beginning. He was on television every day as well with Dr. Fauci, Dr. Burke. So you had to be glued to your television to find out what was going on and what we were experiencing. So I think that was a good part of it all. And I think Governor Cuomo's leadership is good. He has demonstrated that before when at one point we had Hurricanes Irene and Lee, and he was right there in the Adirondacks. We had Route 73, had two huge washouts. He made sure they were fixed in no time. And the fixes that they did on the entire, you know, water control have helped that we haven't had an experience like that. And the Lake Ontario with the high water, there's so many communities along the line on the seaway that were just, you know, inundated with water. It was really tough. So I think he does a great job in that respect, certainly.
When you tool around in your car in the upstate areas, you see a lot of signs about guns and repeal the Cuomo gun laws and the rest. Has that put you in a tough spot?
No, not at all, really. You know, one of the traditions of people in the North Country and in rural areas is hunting and fishing, and guns are a part of their lives. And not just for hunting and fishing, but they believe for protection. And I think there's room for gun advocates as well as the anti-guns. But guns used in a bad way are certainly a bad thing. But guns used in a good way, there's not a problem with. So, you know, I don't think it is, but I do think it has a whole different aspect in New York City. One of my sons got married in New York City, and so the whole family was there. And we were in Little Italy, I think, and going into Chinatown area. And as we stood waiting for the right to cross the road, we were standing with like 30 to 40 people. And as we started across the road, 30 to 40 people were coming at us. And I thought, no wonder people worry about guns down here, because you don't know who's coming at you. And I think that our way of life is definitely going to appeal to more people in New York City after this. So if we get the internet service that we need, and it becomes like electricity, and it's in every home, people can work from home. And even these companies have to be wondering, you know, why am I paying for all this real estate when they're doing the same work right out of their own house?
Betty Little, are we going to get the internet upstate that so many small communities absolutely have to have?
I'll tell you, that is my final goal, and I'm working on it all the time. So that and cell coverage. We have improved cell coverage. Most of our hamlets have cell coverage, with the exception of North Creek, which is getting a new cell tower this summer. But the corridors, the highways in between, you can go from Malone to Tupper Lake, which is like 60 miles and very, very little cell coverage. You can go from Warrensburg to Tupper Lake, and there's only two or three hamlets where you can get a little cell coverage. And Plattsburgh to Malone, hardly any cell coverage along the way. So it's the corridors that really need that, and it's for the health, the safety, and the economy of the North Country. But I have a neighbor that just moved in near me, although we're in Queensbury and there's good internet service just about everywhere. She works in New York City once a month and lives up here. So I think that that's our hope for increasing the population. And there's nothing that the Adirondacks and the North Country needs more than to grow the year-round population. Our communities are, you know, getting smaller and older, and our schools are smaller. So I think we need that desperately. But cell coverage, you know, when I first got elected, there was like 40-some miles on the Northway with no cell coverage at all. And we had the tragedy of the man who died 100 feet off the Northway, but in a ravine, and his wife was in the car for 31 hours. So we only have one little spot, probably 3 to 4 miles between exit 30 and as you go up to 31, where there's no cell coverage. You still can drop a call here and there, because sometimes with tourists, the cell becomes overcapacitated and, you know, becomes weaker, doesn't reach as far, but still better than it was. But one of the things we've been doing, and we're getting a summary of the 49 school districts that I represent and finding out from the school superintendents, what's their estimate of the number of students who had inadequate or no internet service for this online learning for 3 months and into 4 months now. So it's been tough. It's been especially tough on special ed students who, you know, needed all of these therapies that they got when they were in school that you don't get when you're online, as well as, you know, that face-to-face. And I think it's been hard on the teachers. I was a teacher. I can't imagine trying to teach a classroom of, you know, there are fewer kids, like 25 or 20 kids now, that you haven't even seen face-to-face in several months.
And the governor is talking about a 20% cut if the feds don't help the state in terms of its deficit, 20% cut in education. What will happen in your districts?
It'd be difficult, but I think the governor is doing a really good job advocating for the need for that federal money. And, you know, to his credit, he's gone down to D.C., he's working with the president, and hopefully Congress and our congresspeople and our two senators, Senator Gillibrand and Schumer, are going to come through with money for New York. We were the hardest hit. I think we have kind of been the model as to how you deal with it. And I think that, you know, other states have learned from us, but I think we deserve to be funded.
I hear Senator Gillibrand is moving even further upstate. Do you have any idea what's on her mind?
Yeah. No, I haven't talked to her in a bit, but she was a great representative here. I worked with her a lot, and one particular case, I couldn't do anything more with it at the state level unless I contacted the FDA, because it was a pharmaceutical issue. And she jumped right in and did a wonderful job for the people that were involved in it, and I went with them to D.C. twice, to her office and all of that. So she knows the district well. So if I suppose it's the best part of New York State that she knows, other than where she has lived. So I think it's great. It's a beautiful place to live. You can do so much now if you get the internet service from home.
Let's talk a little bit about the police. Obviously, I'm very much on everybody's lips. Mm-hmm. Governor Cuomo has come up with a list of changes that he expects to see. You voted against repealing 50A, that, in other words, opening up police
Right, and I believe that, you know, a policeman's record should be open. However, I don't believe it should have accusations that are unproven and unsubstantiated. And when they went forward and expanded it to correction officers, correction officers get accused of a lot of things that are not proven not to be true, because an inmate really was trying to ruin their reputation if they can. Teachers, they have those things removed from their record if it's unfounded, unsubstantiated. And that was the one thing with the bill that I did not like. And actually, Senator Savino from Staten Island said she was going to propose a bill that would require that unsubstantiated, unfounded things be removed from their records. So that will correct it. And if I had the opportunity, I would vote for that. But I voted for most of the others. You know, there are bad people in every profession. There are bad legislators, even in the medical field. And there are bad policemen, unfortunately. And I think because times have changed And because people's attitude towards the police have changed, I think they need more training to deal with it.
What about things like chokeholds? We see a move to prohibit policemen from doing that. The president says, right. Yeah, no chokeholds unless the policeman's life is in danger. Well, of course, the policeman's always going to say that that's why they did it. So how can you come to grips with that?
That guy's life wasn't in danger at all. You know, that's probably the worst one I've ever seen. Some of them, there's a question about, you know, who did it or was it necessary or what was going on. You can see exactly what was going on here, and for almost 9 minutes, that was horrendous, absolutely horrendous. And it has brought, I think, you know, everyone to the attention of police forces in every community. But I think this defunding is not the way to go. Helping them become better and to adapt to situations, you know, and you know, most of these things, everything you do is recorded.
What do you think about that? What about body cameras? It sounds to me like it's a good deal.
No, I don't have an issue with that. I think it was a good deal. I voted for the one where anybody could film something that was going on as well.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the idea that municipalities, you know, the governor wants a reform package from every municipality. You think that's a good idea?
Well, I think it doesn't hurt for every municipality to look at themselves and take a good look at themselves and see how they can help the policemen and law enforcement and correction officers and everyone to deal with sometimes changing attitudes and what they might be up against. And, you know, I think that it can be done easily enough and looking at plans. And you know, there are issues and there are plans out there. But this is unfortunate that that was such a bad, bad case. And it was there were no questions about what he did and what his intention was. I mean, how could you do it for that long with people telling you to stop and watch this guy die under your knee? So that's an exceptional case, and hopefully that the things that we try to do and talk about and work with our law enforcement people, we still need law enforcement, and I don't want to see them discouraged about going in. They put their lives on their line. You know, the most dangerous thing that a policeman has in the North Country is a domestic violence call because they never know what they're going to get into. And it's another reason for my push on the cell coverage. When a policeman, state trooper, mostly state troopers or sheriff, would stop someone on a highway and he has no cell coverage, he can't find out who that person is from their license plate. So he goes up to that car window not knowing who's in it or what they're about or what might happen. So we have to give them an awful lot of credit and help them and not turn against it at all. I cringe when I see some of the remarks about it. But if somebody's had a bad experience with police, then that certainly changes how they feel about them, too.
So. Well, let's talk about COVID impact on border business travel. You're up there by Canada. You know all about it. Have we really suffered as a result of COVID in terms
yes.
of Canadian trade?
Absolutely. So the Canadians are in our area all the time. They're good tourists. They're here. You can still go across for business purposes. And in Plattsburgh, 15% of the workforce that live in Plattsburgh goes to work every day to a Canadian company in Plattsburgh. So we have a huge presence in our economy and impact on tourism. So it was understandable in the beginning, but extending it anymore is unnecessary. And hopefully it'll be reconsidered.
Now, they have extended to July 21st that agreement that keeps the border between the two countries closed.
We were hoping it was going to be the end of June, and that would be it. But July is a big month for tourism, and even down here in the Lake George area.
Sure.
You know, walk the streets. There's a lot of Canadians, a lot of people speaking French. But so many activities. It's so difficult. I have found it very, very stressful, the whole COVID-19 thing. What was going on, not knowing what the outcome was going to be, worrying about how everyone was going to get through this and what would take place. And you know, and personally, not being out in the district. And that's been me traveling through the North Country and talking to people and going to events and visiting with constituents. And, you know, I've worn out the phone. At one point, I had tennis elbow from using it too much. So I finally got rid of that and started using my left hand instead of my right hand. So.
I was going to say that Senate Minority Leader John Flanagan is now out. Flanagan says he'll retire early. He's going to work for Northwell Health Systems and will join the health system on June 29th as Vice President of Regional Government Affairs. Isn't this sort of classic revolving door? You know, you leave the legislature and you go to work basically lobbying the legislature.
Well, he'll be limited in what he can do lobbying, but I had hoped. I was disappointed that the timing. We have a lot of really good candidates running for the Senate this year, and to have the leader vacate the position at this point, when it's difficult to campaign anyway right now, or to raise money and being in the minority, and some of these candidates, you know, put their life on the line to go out and campaign. I had hoped and told him, you know, I would have hoped you would have stayed till Election Day at least.
And what did he say when you told him that?
Nothing. So just that he's, you know, doing what he felt he needed to do, I guess. But I was disappointed.
I want to come back and ask you a question I asked you earlier. I want to give you yet another crack at it. You did very well with it the first time. So are the Republicans in New York State what we might call an endangered species?
I don't think so. I'm glad there is a species, and I'm glad, and I wish it would grow. I don't think we do as well getting people to register to vote because we don't promote it as much as we should. Maybe we're a little more standoffish, and we shouldn't be. But I think that more that people see what we stand for and life in New York, we've lost residents, a lot of residents. And I've had a lot of people, you know, through the years that have called me and said, I had a business here. I can't stand it anymore. I'm going south. And I can't say, oh, you shouldn't be, because, you know, they have all the reasons for doing it. They just can't afford it here anymore, and they can't afford the taxes and the rules and the regulations and all of that. So, and I feel that there's businesses right now that may have been on the fringe or even weren't making enough money to make it worthwhile to stick with it, that those people may vacate the area as well. So, unfortunately, we probably lose more Republicans than we do Democrats moving out of the area, but I don't know that as a fact. So, I still have hope. I'm the eternal optimist, though. So
You are indeed, and very reasonable. Let me ask you this, Betty Little. Your website is talking all about Lyme disease. Does that continue to be a big plague on your district?
Yes. It does. It's kind of lost it, you know, stepped down a little bit because of the COVID. But no, it is very important. And I had, my chief of staff had Lyme disease and was really sick for 2 years, on and off, constant. So, and has some, you know, residual from that. And I know a lot of people who've had it. And I know, you know, where I live, and my son retired from the military after 26 years and moved from Virginia Beach to next door to me. He now flies for FedEx, and he's been questioned many times. You moved to New York? Like, why? I think I can easily say because he's closer to me and his father as well. So, but they check themselves every day, and there are ticks out there, and they have found them on themselves. When you're working in the yard or working in the woods, it's a big thing.
Is there anything we can be doing about that legislatively?
Well, I think we have done some things legislatively, but we haven't always funded it. And we've had some good research being done at Paul Smith, the Trudeau Institute, and Paul Smith College, with working together on Lyme, and they didn't get funded when we lost the majority. So they raised some money privately, and we're continuing to work on trying to get them funded again.
We're almost out of time. One of my things, Betty Little, that I've always been interested in is initiative and referendum, which I am for, which many people are not. You put something on the ballot, if the legislature won't do its job, then let the people propose it and pass it and implement it. What am I missing here?
Well, California's experience, I guess.
Yeah, there is that.
Yeah, I haven't been in favor of it. I mean, if you're working with your constituents and you see things that really need to be done or they want to see legislative, that's our role, is to take on that piece of legislation and try to work with it and gain support for it. We have thousands and thousands and thousands of bills that are introduced every year. Fortunately, they don't all get passed. But there are so many ideas out there that I think work through the process and then through the committee process, and then the advocates get a chance to be for it, and those that are against it have a chance to present good arguments against it, and then the lawmakers get a chance to weigh those concerns and vote for it, and the governor has a chance to sign it or not sign it. And it has to go through both houses. So it gets a lot of thought put into it, a lot of oversight. And, you know, and you have to really say, and any time there's a law being proposed, in my mind, is it necessary? Is it enforceable? And what's it going to cost?
Okay, I have a yes or no. Betty Little, I have a yes or no question because we are absolutely out of time. You know, the president took that walk over to St. John's Church, and, you know, there was quite a to-do over it. Would you have argued with him he shouldn't have done that?
I think it was done at the spur of the moment or something, but I think that, you know, like Monday morning quarterback, looking back, everything he does is scrutiny, and there are people who detest him so badly that if he said today was Wednesday, they'd say, no, it isn't. So...
We are out of time, and I so appreciate this valedictory talk with us as you leave the State Senate. We will miss you, and we're sorry that you're going, but congratulations on your retirement.
Oh, thank you very much. I know I'll miss it too, but thank you. I appreciate the call. Bye-bye.